Earlier this week, there was the anniversary of three priests that played a prominent role in my early life, both as a student and as a young priest. The first is Father Mike Keene, who was pastor of a parish in Marin and supportive of the high school. His cousin was Father Kevin Gaffey. But Father Mike Keene was a great man with a great sense of humor and a true shepherd of his people. Monsignor Clem McKenna was the pastor of a parish where my mom had gone to school and my aunt helped vest me at my priestly ordination, ran St. Vincent's School for Boys, was a great compassionate shepherd. They had the same anniversary, along with another priest, Tom Lacey, the pistol-packing padre, but that's for another homily. But a priest died recently this year, Father Ray Zolan. Father Zolan trained my brother and my cousins and me how to serve Mass. He was raised in Wisconsin. He left college as a sophomore, an engineering major at the University of Wisconsin to fight for our country, and he was wounded in the Battle of the Bulge. After he recuperated and the war was over, he was discharged at the Presidio, and he made a decision to stay and study for the priesthood for the Archdiocese of San Francisco rather than going back to Sheboygan, Wisconsin. I suppose that was an easy decision. He went to the same seminary that I did, and Andy O'Leary and Nick Castoli and Andrew Kelly will start this week. He was a great confessor. My mom and my aunt spoke highly of him. My dad and my uncle respected him greatly because he was a vet and was wounded for our country. But there's another priest who's very much alive. He was the first associate, as we called it in those days, when I was ordained, Neil Healy. He's very much alive and as cranky as ever. He was a great person to play golf with. We played, usually taking a mulligan on every hole. I've been honored to preach at his 40th and his 50th anniversary, though he fired me after the 40th, claiming I had made fun of him, but he called me back to preach his 50th just a couple years ago. He's a good priest. Looking back of the lay people in my life, the religious, the Daughters of Charity, the Christian Brothers, it's so important for us to have people who guide us, who evidence a strong faith. Father Healy was born in a small town of Aghrume on the Cork and Kerry border in the west of Ireland. In fact, Aghrume has a number of its descendants in Butte, Montana, because they came to mine there as they mined in Ireland. He told the story of the time when, in that village before Mass started, the people came to sit in their pews quietly praying. Others walked in whispering, catching up what had happened since the last week. But of course, this famous story I like to tell is when Satan appeared in front of the church in that parish or groom, and everybody screamed and ran for the exits, except an old woman on the front pew, not moving, oblivious to what was happening. This confused Satan a bit, so he walked up to the older lady and said, "Do you know who I am?" And she said, "I do. Aren't you afraid of me?" And she said, "No, certainly not." He was annoyed and said, "Why are you not afraid of me?" And she said, "Because I've been married to your brother for the last 48 years. Now, that was Neil Healy's famous joke. But until recently, in many cultures, events and experiences that had no ready explanation were attributed to evil. This was certainly true in the time of Jesus. Diseases, physical deformities, mental illness, accidents, bad weather patterns, and defeats in battle were attributed either to God's vengeance or the work of the devil. The Canaanite woman considered herself cursed for having a daughter who's tormented by a demon. Scripture scholars remind us that she probably had chronic illness that could not be cured. All of this complicated by the fact that the woman is also considered cursed because she's a Gentile, a non-Jew. And because of her ethnicity and religion, the disciples do not think that she should ask for anything from Jesus. At first, it seems that Jesus agrees with them. But her daughter is healed because Jesus finds in this mother great faith, which leads to our morning's reflection. This woman stands in stark contrast to our gospel from last week, where Peter is described as a man of little faith as he begins to sink in the rough waters. What then does her faith offer to us to pray about in the week ahead, especially during this time of pandemic? Three qualities seem to help define this woman's greatness of faith: her persistence, her humility, and her humor. Her persistence is remarkable. She reminds us of the woman of the parable who wears down the reluctant judge with the one weapon she has: persistence. She has to break through the barriers of racial and religious prejudice, and her eyes are only set on the power of God that she has glimpsed in Jesus Christ. She refused to be put off or give up because of the reluctance of the apostles. Her heart has only one thing to say: Lord, help me. Persistent faith might also be called a tough faith. Sometimes we hear people say, it's easy for you, you've got great faith. But think about it, it's not at all like that. Faith doesn't always make things easy. In fact, the opposite is more likely the case. It's because we have faith that we refuse to give up. Faith impels us to persevere, to struggle on, often with no guarantee of a happy outcome or even what we believe to be right. Faith is not a magic wand. It calls forth the second quality this woman displayed: humility. Notice that she kneels before Jesus, and her prayer is simplicity itself, for her hope does not have anything to do with her words or her own previous efforts to help her daughter. We know that Jesus did not answer her. We've all experienced that feeling in prayer, that God hasn't heard us. But delay seems to be a tactic that God uses to deepen our sense of providence and dependence. If we received our answers too readily, we might imagine that they're due to our own merits or because our prayer is so good. We have to go through the limitations of failed prayer, and God puts us to the test. Just look at the famous women and men of Scripture and the saints of our church. Was Jesus testing this woman by throwing back at her the racial insult by which Jews referred to other nations as dogs? If she reacted in anger, in violence, it might have seemed that her racial identity was stronger than her petition for help for her daughter. We know, however, that the comments and insults do not distract her from her purpose. Finally, her faith has the third quality: humor. She can turn a potentially insulting situation into an occasion for a quick-witted response. As I mentioned, I was blessed in those early years of priesthood to be with another, Monsignor Jim Keane, and Father Healy, and Mike Keane, and Kevin Gaffey, and others who had a great sense of humor. Humor was valued in my family. And as I said to Father Connell, if a priest wants to be successful under this administration, he better have a sense of humor. This woman, in her quick-wittedness, defuses the situation. If you ever meet someone with a great reputation for sanctity and holiness, but who has no sense of humor, you're not dealing with someone with genuine holiness. Wait around a while and you'll see anger, or even worse, a lack of generosity of heart. A lack of humor is also a sense and a sign of a lack of self-honesty. There are enough saints whose writings or letters indicate the necessity of having a sense of humor with God. Without humor, the burdens become overwhelming, and we cannot let ourselves go totally into God's care or be even able to relax with God. We need holy humor when we're dealing with God about our faults. Now, this doesn't mean we laugh our sins away or dismiss them. But if we get angry and deeply upset because we're not perfect, then we're lacking in the humility and a sense of humor, which makes us all saints in the making, always dependent on God's grace, which builds on our weak nature. As we continue our Mass this morning, let us look to this woman from the Gospel, a woman of great faith who models for us persistence, humility, and humor. Qualities that are essential if you and I want to grow in holiness. And as she prayed for her daughter's healing, let us also learn from her the power of intercessory prayer, especially during this time of such great divide, pandemic, and a sense of hopelessness. A reminder that we should forget about ourselves and our own needs for a while to ask for the needs of someone else, even if we don't know them. This type of prayer has the possibility of helping us place our lives in context and reminding us that despite the difficulties and challenges of our life, you and I often enjoy many blessings that so many do not. God bless you.